Can I have a Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Desatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindurbhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Guru Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Narayanam Namaskrityam Narantego Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirayat Mokam Karati Vachalam Pangur Mangayate Girim Yat Kripata Mahon Vande Sri Gurum Dinutarinam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanyeswaram Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swami Vinayane Namacharya Padaya Antai Krishna Pradayane Gaura Katha Dhamadhara Madhagram Tarine Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 So reading from third canto chapter 31 entitled The Movements of the Living Entities. Text 47. Tasmannakaya santraso
Tasmannakaya santraso
Tasmannakaya santraso
Tasmannakaya santraso
Nakal Panyam na sambhava
Nakar panyam na sambhrama Nakar panyam na sambhrama
Bhutva jiva gatim thiro
Bhutva jiva gatim thiro
Bhutva jiva gatim thiro
Bhutva jiva gatim thiro
Bhukta Sangascharetiha
Bhukta Sangascharetiha
Bhukta Sangascharetiha
Bhukta Sangascharetiha
Tasmanna Karya Santraso
Tasmanna Karya Santraso
Nakar Panyam Na Sandhrama
Nakar Panyam Na Sandhrama
Bhutva Jiva Gatim Dhiro
Bhutva Jiva Gatim Dhiro
Bhukta Sangascharetiha
Bhukta Sangascharetiha
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace is Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Therefore, one should not view death with horror, not have recourse to defining the body as soul, nor give away exaggeration in enjoying the bodily necessities of life, realizing the true nature of the living entities. One should move about in the world free from attachment and steadfast in purpose. A sane person who has understood the philosophy of life and death is very upset upon hearing the horrible, hellish condition of life in the womb of the mother or outside of the mother. But one has to make a solution to the problem of life. A sane man should understand the miserable condition of this material body without being unnecessarily upset he should try to find out if there is a remedy. The remedial measure can be understood when one associates with person who are liberated. This must be understood who is actually liberated. The liberated person is described in the Bhagavad Gita. One who engages in uninterrupted devotional service to the Lord, having surpassed the stringent law of material nature, is understood to be situated in Brahman. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is beyond the material creation. It is admitted even by impersonalists like Shankaracharya that Narayan is transcendental to this material creation. As such, when one actually engages in the service of the Lord in various forms, neither Narayan or Radha Krishna or Sitaram is understood to be on the platform of liberation. The Bhagavatam also confirms that liberation means to be situated in one's constitutional position. Since a living entity is eternally the servitor of the Supreme Lord, when one seriously and sincerely engages in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, is situated in the position of liberation. One should try to associate with the liberated person, and then the problems of life, namely birth and death, can be solved. While discharging devotional service in full Krishna consciousness, one should not be miserly. One should not be miserly. He should not unnecessarily show that he has renounced this world. Actually, renunciation is not possible. If one renounces partial building and goes to a forest, there is actually no renunciation. For the palatial building is the property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the forest is also property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If he changes from one property to another, that does not mean that he renounces. He was never the proprietor of either the palace or the forest. Renunciation necessitates renouncing the false understanding that one can lord it over material nature. When one renounces this false attitude and renounces the puffed up position that he is also God, when one renounces this false attitude and renounces the puffed up position that he is also God, that is real renunciation. Otherwise, there is no meaning of renunciation. Rupa Goswami advises that if one renounces anything which could be applied in the service of the Lord and does not use it for that purpose, then that is called falgu vairagya, insufficient or false renunciation. Everything belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, everything can be engaged in the service of the Lord. Nothing should be used for one's sense gratification. That is real renunciation. Nor should one unnecessarily increase the necessities of the body. We should be satisfied with whatever is offered and supplied by Krishna without much personal endeavor. We should spend our time executing devotional service in Krishna consciousness. This is the solution to the problem of life and death. I offer my respectful obeisances to all the Sangha devotees. begging your mercy to be able to say something on this topic. This chapter reveals the horrible, as Prabhupada used these words, horrible, hellish condition within the womb, which we're actually not aware of, because once we come out of the womb, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur in one song, he reveals that when one is within the womb, he suffers, he goes through so much pain, but when he comes out, he forgets everything. And Prabhupada said that he, you know, the way he translates this particular verse, therefore one should not view death as horror. Yesterday we heard that the pain during death is like being bitten by 10,000 scorpions. So when one is bitten by 10,000 scorpions, you're not supposed to be horrified. You're supposed to be quite peaceful, which is very unusual and unheard of. Even when you get bitten by a mosquito, you become very perturbed, you become quite disturbed. What to speak of being bitten by 10,000 scorpions. But we have seen, especially in Mayapur, because many devotees come to live their bodies in Mayapur. And they want to live their body in the dham. So I have personally witnessed many devotees coming to the dham to live their bodies. And I had the opportunity to see some devotees being there at the moment when they left their bodies. And there was definitely no sign of horror. There was no sign of being scared or anything. And it was very peaceful. I remember one devotee was leaving his body. And just before he left, I think 1 week before, Janani Vasprabhu came to him, and I was there, and Janani Vasprabhu was preaching to him. He said, you know, you've been dancing in the kirtan. You should leave your body while dancing in the kirtan and just go. Don't worry about anything. And he couldn't even move, because it was just last few days. And I happened to be there when he left his body. It was very peaceful and very happy. So as an example, devotees are a wonderful example how they take death as Krishna. Mrittu sarvaharas chaham. They accept death as Krishna, and therefore they are not worried. And Prabhupada gives an example of a cat. When the cat is holding kitten with its mouth, it's not scared. It's the most comfortable place. It's like, you know, being loved by his mother. But the same cat, the same mouth, when he holds a rat, you think the rat feels very comfortable? No, he's like, I'm done. So he's scared. But the same cat, with the same mouth, when he holds his baby, is very, very comfortable, very happy. So Prabhupada says, don't just, get upset. He said, don't be upset about this horrible, hellish condition, but do something. Don't just complain. Because in this world, nothing really works. It's very, very difficult. Even though artificially everything may seem like, you know, okay, not so bad. But we all know things are not going really right. Timing is running out. And we won't be here for too long. And you know that things are getting out of your control. You're about to die. The moment we are born, we are dying. So how old are you? Even if someone is 6 months old, we ask, how old is he or he? We are already referring to that particular individual as old. Already. And he or she is only 6 months. What does that mean? That means he's getting closer to death. So just like we're so worried about ourselves, we're worried about our children, we're worried about our relatives, which is natural. You're so worried because he or she is sick, so worried that, you know, maybe we're not financially secured or we're not as comfortable as we should be. Aren't you worried that we can all die? You're so worried because your children is sick, but you're not really worried that he or she is going to die one day and therefore I should do something. And therefore Prabhupada says, don't just get upset, do something, do something. And Prabhupada emphasizes that so heavily here. And this is the mood of the Lord. You know that this story about all the devotees of Bengal went to see Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. And there was a few hundred devotees. And they were there for 4 months. And the time came when everyone had to say goodbye to the Lord and go back to Bengal. Actually, Mahaprabhu called everyone, and you know, with so much gratitude to all the devotees, he appreciated everyone, and then he requested everyone to go back and preach. So he called up the Acharya in front of everyone and he said, you should go and preach, and this is the best way to please me. So Acharya began to cry because he had to go. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, Mahaprabhu turned to Nityananda and he said, you should go. You should go back to Bengal and preach. You know the reason why we are here. These living entities are so drowned in this material existence that they don't even realize that they are suffering. They're frustrated, they're upset about so many things, but they're not doing anything about it. Therefore, you should go. And when Nityananda Prabhu heard that Mahaprabhu was asking him to go, he began to cry like a child, not softly but very loudly. And he said, these are all grihasthas. I understand you are asking them to go back to their homes, but why are you asking me? I'm a sannyasi. I cannot go back. So because he cried so pathetically in front of everyone, the Lord said, okay, you stay here for some time, but later on you must go. So after some time, the Lord called him in a secluded place. And there was tears in the Lord's eyes, saying that you are here, trying to be with me, while the living entities of Bengal are suffering, the classes of Maya, and they'll be just repeating the cycle of birth and death. Please go back. And after saying this, the Lord kept quiet. And he was so sad. Mahaprabhu was so sad. Just seeing our condition, the Nityananda Prabhu decided, no more. I cannot see the Lord not being happy. I must do something for him. So he said, okay, tomorrow I'm leaving. And then he began his preaching. Seeing our situation, the Lord is so, he is in distress because we are his children. And he sees that we know there are problems, but somehow or other we are just not ready to do something about it. And therefore he tries in so many ways to get us to wake up. And here Prabhupada is emphasizing that without being unnecessarily, he talks about that you should, a devotee should try to associate with liberated persons. So who is a liberated person? That's a very tough thing to decide. Just like in order to know what is good music and bad music, you should be also quite knowledgeable about music, isn't it? If I say this is not Rag Bhairav, this is Kedar, you should know what is Kedar and what is Bhairav to distinguish. So to say, you know, Prabhupada talks about being associated with a liberated person. In the way Prabhupada explained that how a devotee is always respectful to other devotees. So we start with that. Just being very, very respectful and being very nice to everyone. And that's the first stage. Without trying to discriminate, oh Prabhu, you're not liberated. Okay, Hare Krishna. Okay, you're liberated, alright, I'm gonna talk to you. I can't talk to you, you're not liberated. So we don't discriminate like that, we just try to be nice. When Mahaprabhu was asked who is a devotee, he said anyone who chants Hare Krishna even once is a devotee. And of course, you know, he continues first class, second class and third class, Kanishtha, Madhyam and Uttam devotees. But the first initial stage is anyone who chants Hare Krishna even once is a devotee. So we're being nice to them. We may not associate, but we have to be very respectful to everyone. And then the next paragraph, Prabhupada talks about that how Krishna is beyond anything material. He is totally spiritual. Even the impersonal sons, you know, such as Shankaracharya, even they accept that. While discharging devotional service in full Krishna consciousness, one should not be miser. He should not unnecessarily show that he has renounced this world. Who was here just last night? Who was here last night? Okay. So, most of you are not here. Just a brief about this false renunciation. Yesterday we heard from Chaitanya Bhagavat where this saintly person, he has not committed any sinful activities in his entire life. And he was a tapasvi, a great in doing austerities, so much so, even though he was a Bengali, he did not eat rice. He did not take vegetables. He did not take fruits. He only survived in milk. You see the qualities? And many of us would fail to come to that category. Surviving on milk for years, no sinful activities in entire life, and a brahmachari, and a Brahmin by birth. Because Srivast Thakur later on says, Mahaprabhu, my Lord, he is so Brahman. And some other, he thought, you know, he was a great renunciate. And therefore he thought he could see the Lord. And Mahaprabhu chastised Srivast Thakur, because Srivast Thakur let him come inside. You know the story, right? Yes? He came inside, he saw the Lord chastise Srivast Thakur. He chastised that brahmachari. He said, get out of here. But because of that chastisement, his heart was totally changed. So previously he was thinking he is qualified because he thinks he's a good renunciate. But now he feels he's so wretched, he's so fallen. And the moment his heart was changed, the Lord told his devotees, go get him back. And he gave him love of Godhead. So, Prabhupada talks about false renunciation. I will not stay in the city, I'll go to the forest. Or I will not stay in the forest, I'll go to the city. That's not a renunciation. Seeing everything related to Krishna, sarvatra dekhetar ishta deva spurti. He sees everything in relation to Krishna. In fact, he actually sees Krishna everywhere. And therefore, when Mahaprabhu saw the Godavari river, then it reminded him of Yamuna. Godavari dekhi hoilo Yamuna smaran tire varna dekhi smriti hoilo Vrindavan. He saw the forest on the bank of the Godavari river. It reminded him of Vrindavan. And when he saw Yamuna river, when he saw Godavari, it reminded him of Yamuna river. So he saw everything in relation to Krishna. And therefore, when Prabhupada built Mayapur, he had this sloka written on the main gate. Because prapanchi kataya buddha hari sambandha vastuna mumukshave parityago vairagyam phalgu kattate. Is it? Am I saying it right? What is the yukta vairagya mucchate? How does the sloka start? Anyway, Rupa Goswami's sloka, yukta vairagya mucchate, engaging everything in Krishna service. Because Prabhupada thought that, you know, he is building this beautiful speech on the real renunciation. Prabhupada had put that sloka on the main gate and it's still there. So it's very important that we understand what is real renunciation. Mahaprabhu came to give the highest standard of devotional service. And he did not tolerate any mix. The pure is engaging everything in Krishna service. That's all. That is pure. A false renunciation is that you're renouncing something which is not even yours. And therefore, a grihastha does not see that this house is his. Manasa deha geha jo kichu mor arpilu tva pade nandakishor. My Lord, I offer everything to you. It's all yours. And therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that he sees his house as Grihete Goloka Bhai. He sees his house as Golok Vrindavan. Because he saw everything in relation to Krishna. Now, there's one other word Prabhupada uses here. What is that? What's that verse? What is pure bhakti? What's that, Prabhu? Where's that verse? That pure bhakti? Anna vilashatasanam jnana karmati anabhritam anukulbhani krishnam saranam bhakti rattam. No. That, you know, unmotivated, uninterrupted. Sorry? Unmotivated and uninterrupted. Savai gumsam paro dharma yato bhakti rudas kache ahai tuki apratihata yatmasu prasidati. So, it's totally pure. And the Lord came to give that and nothing else. It should not be interrupted. And the only reason to do devotional service is to please Krishna, and that's all. Prabhupada talks about this in this purport. And to prove that point, Mahaprabhu enacted a pastime where the Lord is trying to explain to us that don't, like Prabhupada says here, don't just get, you know, don't get upset, but do something. Try to find a remedy. And when you find a remedy, you take that very seriously and don't mix with anything else. So, it's a wonderful pastime took place in the house of Srivas Thakur. We'll try to hear in brief Mahaprakash Leela, where Mahaprabhu called individuals and he gave them love of Godhead, and he revealed certain secrets that no one else knew except for the Lord and that individual. We all have secrets. We don't tell others because it's embarrassing or whatever it may be. We all have our secrets. So the Lord actually called individuals and told certain secrets and gave them love of Godhead to show that He is always there for the devotees. So Mukunda, he saw that the Lord is calling everyone, but He's not been called. So he feels very, very sad. And he started to cry outside the door. Just outside, he was just crying pathetically because the Lord is calling everyone and he's not been called. He really feels left out. So, and you know Mukunda, he is a great singer. And everyone is in ecstasy when they hear Mukunda sing. So, everyone was surprised that the Lord did not call him. And here was Mukunda outside, just crying. And this was in the house of Srivas Thakur. So Srivas Thakur took some responsibility. He's at my house and he's crying like this. The Lord does not call him. So, and says, "My dear Lord, you're Lord Jagannath. You're the Lord of the universe. Could you please, you know everything. Please tell me, what did Mukunda do? You know, we know that Mukunda is very dear to you. And he is very careful in executing devotional service. Why are you insulting Mukunda like this in front of everyone?" That's what Srivas Thakur told the Lord. "So why are you insulting him? If he has done something, you tell him. You correct him. He is your servant. If you don't call him, he's not going to come. So my Lord, please call him. He's crying." So when the Lord heard that Srivas Thakur is vouching for Mukunda, he got so angry. He was furious. And he said, "Don't you ever speak on behalf of Mukunda ever to me. O beta lagi more kohuna sadiva." O beta in Bengali, in this situation, means like that fellow, that guy. It, you know, the Lord is not even telling Mukunda, taking Mukunda's name. He said, "Don't talk about that fellow to me. Don't talk about that person to me. Ever. Kohu, never. Don't do that." Prabhu bole, "Hana bakka kohuna bhuja." Don't speak like this. And don't speak on behalf of him. So everyone was surprised because everybody was there. And suddenly, you know, Srivas Thakur was just speaking on behalf of Mukunda, who was very genuinely crying outside. And suddenly the Lord got so angry. So Srivastava said, "My Lord, what did he do?" He said, "You don't know him. You know, sometimes we give nicknames to devotees. So someone likes a lot of rasgullas. He eats a lot of rasgullas. So sometimes we may call him Hare Krishna Rasgulla Prabhu. Right? Because he really likes rasgullas. Or, you know, someone likes something else and you give him some name. So when Mahaprabhu was asked by Srivast Thakur, what did he do? So Mahaprabhu gave him a nickname. He said, he is a Khar Jethiya Bhakta. Khar means grass. Jethiya means stick. So Khar Jethiya in Bengali means a cowherd boy, a cowherd. So he's a Khar Jethiya Bhakta. No one understood what is Khar Jethiya Bhakta. They have never heard this term before. But the Lord was so angry. He said, he's a Khar Jethiya Bhakta. So Srivast Thakur said, "My Lord, what is Khar Jethiya Bhakta? What does that mean, cowherd boy? What does that mean?" He said, "You know, the cowherd boys, they take the grass and they feed the cows. Then they take the stick and they hit the cow." Okay, what does that have to do with Mukunda? So then Mahaprabhu explained, when the cowherd boy is feeding the grass to the cow, it is like Mukunda doing devotional service. Don't you see? He comes and he sings so nicely. He puts straw between his teeth and he's so humble. He's so nice. Then he takes the stick and he hits the cow. That is that he will go and do something else other than pure devotional service. So when a devotee does pure devotional service, it is like feeding the grass to the cow. And when the same devotee, it does something else other than pure devotional service, it gives so much pain to Krishna. It's like hitting the cow with a stick. So Srivast Thakur said, "What did he do? We only see him coming and chanting and dancing. He's such a nice devotee." So Mahaprabhu said, "That's what you saw. That's what you see. But I know everything about Mukunda." So Mukunda is standing outside and he is hearing everything what the Lord is saying. Prabhu bale e beta jatha jokhon jatha jay sei motha kotha koi tothai misai. He said, he, wherever he goes, you know, there is a saying in Bengali, jedike jamon hawa boy, whichever way the wind blows, you go that way. So he says, Mukunda is like that. Wherever he goes and whoever he meets, he tries to behave like that. Vaishishta paraya jave abdaita sange bhakti jage nache gaya trina kori damte. He mixes with the devotees, Sathya Sadhvati Charya, and he is so humble. He is chanting, Anna sampradaya gya jakhane sambhaya. When he goes to the other people as karmis and gyanis, nahi mane bhakti jati maraya sadai. There he goes and he tells the karmis and gyanis, yeah, you're right, you're very nice. And he mixes with them. Therefore, bhakti sthane puha hoilo aparad. He has committed offenses to devotional service etako iha hoilo darshan bat. Therefore, you will not see me. Because he's mixing. He's doing devotional service and he's doing something else. It's like us. Yesterday. Don't take it seriously. I'm just saying. Don't take it seriously. Yesterday, just before we started the kirtan, one devotee came up to me. Of course, we had almost packed house yesterday. So, but you know, he said, Prabhu, you know, there will be less devotees here today. I said, why? He said, because there is a India-Pakistan cricket match. and it's the final. It's the final, and this is a lot of Indians here, Prabhu. So what is Kharchetya? Kharchetya means this. We will come and hear Bhagavatam class. After Bhagavatam class, we'll put on the TV and we'll watch full cricket match. Means we will take prasadam, and once a week we have to go to this famous Karmi restaurant and have that dish. We will chant, we'll hear kirtan, and after some time we also have to hear some karma music. So that's what Mahaprabhu was trying to teach through Mukunda. See, Mukunda is a liberated soul. But Mahaprabhu is performing this pastime through Mukunda to make us understand. So when Prabhupada says, just don't be upset, do something about it. That means stop doing both the things. Perform pure devotional service. Take devotional service very seriously. They, like yesterday when we were in the Gita class, we talked about how there is no time. Time means running out. And I was saying that average Indians live in India, it's 67 years. 67.78. That's it. Day by day, lifespan is really going down. How much time we have? And we keep on trying to listen to the mind. Therefore, Mahaprabhu was very, very heavy with Mukunda because he's trying to teach us something. But because of Srivas Thakur's prayers, when Srivas Thakur's prayers and the devotees' blessings, then Mukunda also changed. Particular aspect of it. That's all. So Bhagavatam is about pure devotional service. You read this whole chapter, and is Kapil Dev described this scary scene in the womb of the mother, and is scary inside and is scary outside. Actually, living entities don't want to come outside because it's so scary. It's more scary than inside. Inside is what? You're being bitten by these worms, you can't move, and you know, it's just very suffocating. And outside is even more suffocating. But by Prabhupada's mercy, we have this wonderful opportunity to take devotional service very, very seriously. So that's the teaching Prabhupada is giving us, that don't just lament, don't just be frustrated, don't just be upset, but try to do something. And the solution is there. He has given the solution. And through Mukunda, Mahaprabhu is teaching us that he has come to give pure devotional service. And if we accept that, and then we will be cured of this disease. And that's the remedy. Pure devotional service, uninterrupted devotional service is the remedy. And also Prabhupada talks about how devotional service should be done joyfully. If you're doing devotional service and you're not really happy, then something's wrong. That means we're doing Kartikeya type of service. Rajavidya Rajaguhyam Pavitram Idamuttamam Pratyaksha Bhagavam Dharmyam Su Sukham Kartamavyayam. Devotional service is joyfully performed. But we do devotional service if we do devotional service. Why me? Why Prabhu has given me this service? And you know, there's that, so many things. That means, you know, this Kartikeya style of doing devotional service. Bhagavatam is about Amya Vilasita Sunyam Gyan Karma Dinaprita Anukulyena Krishnanu Silanam Bhakta Uttara. That is pure devotional service. Okay, we'll stop here. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Is there any question? I'm ready to go. You always scare me when you raise your hand.
Simple question. How do we spell that, the name of the Buddha's service, the Kaur's?
Of Kaur? Kaur is K-H-A-D and a dot, Kaur. And Jetya would be J-E-T-H. I-Y-A, Khar Jethiya. Yeah. Khar means, Jethiya means stick. Mm. And Khar means grass.
Oh, yeah, grass, yeah. Stick.
Yes. It's like a cowherd. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything else? Yes, ma'am.
Sometimes take a break, let's say they're going for Mangalati regularly, take a break, okay, I want to sleep in. Or some other service, we take a break. So is that, are you falling down or is that...
You're taking a break?
Taking a break as in sleeping in longer, waking up. Or sometimes we are mostly chanting all our rounds in the morning, but sometimes we just want to spend the whole day chanting and not wake up every time. So is that the same thing as...
I think each individual devotee would be able to answer that question better than anyone else. The reason why you're sleeping in, it may vary. If someone is sleeping because I want to sleep and I don't want to go to Mangalarti because I'm lazy, that's a different thing. But someone, you know, he's sick or he went to sleep very late or he's not well, but you know, that mood I'm sorry, I couldn't get up, you know, that actually will give you the result. That attitude will give you the result. But it's very pure and it's not cheating. It's not lying. It's not lying to anyone. Therefore, Mahaprabhu told Srivas, don't lie. Who's inside the door? Who's inside the house? Don't lie to me. So Srivas started to say, it's okay, my Lord, I'm not going to lie to you. So the mood is very, very truthful. If you're able to come, you're physically well, so try. But if some other reason is there, which is practical reason, you know, health-wise, age-wise, so Krishna will accept that. Krishna will accept them. But if you're able, then it's, you know, very important. Why? Coming to Mangalarti is very important. This is a prescribed remedy given by a pure devotee, Prabhupada. Simply by following his instruction, you get love of Godhead. Because Prabhupada has given it, Mahaprabhu will fulfill that. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami supports this. He says, sadhan bhakti hoite hai roti rudai, roti gara hoile tar prem nam koi. And this is from Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, sadhana bhakti. Simply by doing sadhana bhakti, you get rati taste. And when rati is solidified, that is known as prema. So sadhana bhakti is very important. If you can do, be nice. Okay. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Vatrasma Bhagavatam ki, Tai Gautamande. So we'll be doing the Gaur Katha and Kirtan again today at 7:30. If you are able to come, please come. There is no cricket match today.